Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Wednesday, September 20th, 2017. With me today, I have Kelly Gaumont. And how are you, Kelly?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm all right. And John Martellaro, how's it going?
I'm doing very well, too. Good morning. And hi, Kelly.
Hi, John.
I'm so glad that you two still get along after all this time.
We do while you're recording.
That's all that matters. It's all about what the public sees. Anyhow, we might as well just hop into it because I know you two have a hard time, well, stopping talking.
That's one way to put it.
So, yesterday, talked a little bit about features in iOS 11 and watchOS 4 and first impressions and things that we were liking. And so I thought today we could talk about the things in iOS 11 and watchOS 4 that might be bothering us a little bit, or places where we feel like something else should have been done. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying this is our complaint episode, because it may not be that. But John, I bet there's something specifically, just based on the way I've been hearing you grumbling, that's bothering you about watching.
Can I say something nice first?
Oh, absolutely.
I know that one of our writers was having a little bit of trouble with an OTA update. I connected an iPhone 6S and an iPhone 7 to iTunes. Mm-hmm. And did the upgrade there. And it was the fastest access on the day of the release I've ever had. Normally on the day of the release, the download is miserably slow and it takes, you know, an hour to download. But this time it took 7 minutes to download the updates. It went, after I entered the password for the phone, it just went smoothly. Mm-hmm. And it was the cleanest, smoothest update of iOS I've ever had. And so that was cool.
It did go smoothly for me. And this is even with upgrading from developer betas.
Cool. Also noted that the updates page of the App Store is cleaner and easier to see. And I liked the change in the appearance of the App Store when you do your updates.
Oh, that's right. You hadn't seen the new App Store yet.
It was pretty cool.
I'm actually used to it now because I've been playing with it since the first developer betas.
Yeah, I was trying to get around
it. I think it's a really nice improvement.
I was doing the betas of High Sierra, but I just didn't have time to work with iOS. I'm delighted with the control panel, the new control panel. It looks busy, but it's very logically laid out, and I like the floating bars for the brightness and the volume.
Well, since you brought up control panel,
that's really cool.
I'm going to give it a pat on the back for being a huge improvement, and then toss out a WTF, because why in the world do we still have to go back to settings for all kinds of things that we should be able to do in Control Center just by tapping and holding or firm pressing? You know, like seeing what Wi-Fi network you're on and then choosing another right. one.
Why can't I have that with Force Touch? 3D exactly. Touch, whatever. Speaking of Apple and terrible naming of things, this is a thing that I have wondered about for a while now, because the two things that I show off the most with the touch on the phone, whatever it's called, is the phone option and the flashlight. If you do the firm press on the flashlight, you get low, medium, and high mm-hmm. flashlight on the back of the phone. So those are the ones I show off the most, probably because I'm not obsessed with selfies, and so the camera options aren't a big deal to me. But like the phone one is pretty great, and the one that pops up for the light is pretty great. And so when I tell people, like, why aren't you using it if you have it? You're like, here's two things that are awesome about it right now. Those are usually the ones that I give them as examples.
Yep.
And yeah, you can force touch just about every one of those items in the control panel and get mm-hmm. something interesting. It's quite cool.
Or something where you look at it and think, seriously, you only went halfway.
Yeah, because like nothing across the top in iOS 10 is force touchable. Not airplane mode, not Wi-Fi, not Bluetooth. none of those.
Yeah.
And my biggest complaint is the auto lock setting. You know, every day do a podcast almost, and I want the I run the stopwatch, mm-hmm. and I want the auto lock to be never, so mm-hmm. I can keep a constant watch on the stopwatch as we're running the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I get out of the podcast, I want to go to bed back to auto lock for 1 minute for security. And there's no easy way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It very much annoys me. I wish that when the stopwatch were running, auto lock was disabled.
Or even just give you an option for that, like with like deep within the stopwatch settings is screen is active. Well, like that's one of the things that I get aggravated by is not having the option to make it the other way, even if it's complicated and six menus deep and whatever. Like just having that opportunity is a big deal to me because I may need that for some reason.
Well, it's a sign the phone is so cool and so rich that we keep wanting that extra step, that extra incremental cool stuff that, you know,
sure,
just is personal to us. Yeah.
Yep. It's well, we hold Apple to a very high standard because they make really good stuff.
Right.
So when they do something that just doesn't seem to work right, it's especially frustrating because we know they can do better.
Can I rant about the Apple Watch Watch OS 4, or we're not ready for that yet?
Go ahead. Rant away.
Well, let me give me my one thing about iOS 11, and then we can move on.
Okay.
Sure.
And my thing is this, and it keeps... The reason it keeps coming to the front of my mind is because I posted a tweet about this, like... 5 or 6 years ago now, and it comes up in Time Hop every September. I see it go by. So here's what I would like. When you tap on a link of some sort, wherever it is on your phone, and it switches to a new open page in Safari,
mm-hmm.
that page is blinding white. It is full on white screen. And if you're someone in a dark room, if you're someone who prefers dark mode, if you're someone who ratchets the brightness all the way down, that white screen, and then depending on the strength of the signal that you have, waiting for that white screen to go away while the page actually loads is A, maddening, and B, suppose it's like in the nighttime and you were in the dark and something happened and you needed to tap on a thing and now this page, now that screen is blinding you, even if it's at really low brightness. Ask me how I know. So I really wish that they would just ratchet that off a step, like the default new screen thing when you switch over and it just gives you that slab of white light. I wish it was like slightly less white, even
like a gray.
That would be great. I mean, I would even propose bringing back the linen for this nonsense, just because that would be less harsh on my eyeballs than what happens right now. And even in night mode, it's still very jarring, or night shift, whatever they call it. Like even in that, it's very jarring because, for example, like I use Twitterific, and Twitterific I have set to night mode all the time because I prefer the black background with the white text. And when I do that and then tap on a web page, I've been looking at black background, white text for a while now. And then bam, like now I get this slab of white light in my eyeballs and it's kind of hard. And I wish that it was not as jarring an experience as it is.
Yep, totally get it.
So that's it. That's my one complaint, because I've had that complaint for a really long time.
All right, John, you have an Apple Watch rant?
Yeah, I have not installed Watch OS 4 yet, but I'm going to do that today. I'm told
Plans
by
time.
Mr.
It takes at least an hour.
It's a while.
I know. I'm told by Mr. Jeff Butts that Apple has still not introduced a additional watch face that has hours, minutes, and seconds digital, and that the astronomy watch face still does not have hours, minutes, seconds digital. I had a friend who was watching the eclipse in Kentucky write me and say, I really need hours, minutes, and seconds for this eclipse because I'm doing photography and I need to know what second it is. And I told him, well, there's a health face that has hours, minutes, seconds digital. It's the only one. I am going to lean on Apple like I leaned on Apple about the lack of an NTP server in the original client and the original iPad, and the clock drifted terribly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I am not going to stop until Apple introduces a digital watch face with hours, minutes, seconds that's clean and has all the other necessary complications
okay,
that you might want.
How are you going to do that, John? Now is your chance to rally the army behind you, the TMO army, and get people who think this is important to help you do this, because this is a thing that can happen. This is a thing that's real. This is a thing that literally anyone can do.
I had thought that Apple would get around to this in watchOS 3 and 4, and it was something that just didn't want to do or didn't have the code resources to do in the original watch. But now we're up to watchOS 4. There is no excuse.
Right.
There is none.
So how do people complain to Apple about this?
How do you fix it?
Feedback@apple.com.
You can also go to apple.com in a web browser, apple.com/feedback, and you can walk through the steps there. It's very similar to when you file a support request with Apple if you're having trouble with something or you're trying to get a refund for a mistaken iTunes purchase or something. You can go there, and all you have to do is scroll down to Apple Watch and then walk through the steps, and it does a similar thing. And if enough people do things like that, it will make change. Like, yes. I have to pull out a really old reference, but when the initial public betas of macOS 10 came out, there was no Apple menu anymore. And there was a riot in the feedback at apple.com inbox, as best I can figure, because almost immediately, like the next thing we heard about the beta was, we heard you. The Apple menu's back.
I remember that beta getting to play with it.
Me too.
And it was like, I don't even understand what they're thinking at Apple.
And I went, I did it wrong. Something's happened. There's no Apple menu. And clearly, like, I've got a bad install. Like, something is screwed up on my system, because there's supposed to be an Apple menu up there and there's not.
Yeah. And someone trick me with BOS?
I was really like, oh, clearly this is my fault. I've screwed something up. There's a bad permission file somewhere and it's hiding my Apple menu from me. This is really weird. I don't know what to do. This is not a Mac anymore. And so then I found out from someone else, they were like, yeah, it's gone now. And I'm like, that's not cool. And so I sent them an email and I'm like, I liked the Apple menu. It held many useful things. Thanks.
There was a big fuss about that.
It was huge. Mm-hmm. And it came back, and Apple does listen. Apple does care. So, you know, whether or not that's
going to be my,
how
part,
it's made, but Apple Music, well, whether it's, they do care, because otherwise people won't buy stuff. So whether or not this gets me my Apple Music channel of how it's made videos, I don't know. But if enough people write in and say, I need this watch face in this way, and particularly if you can give them, for this reason, I need it because I track this thing medically and I need the digital seconds for this reason. Or if there's like, if you just want it, that's fine. But if you have an actual use case where the seconds are important to me in this particular situation, that always helps make a better case for a feature request. I've worked for software companies for a lot of years, and that does make it a lot easier to plead for the engineering resources to make something like that happen. If you have actual use cases you can cite.
There you go. All right. So, I think, Kelly, we might need to help you with something now.
You do. I have a dilemma. So
I can't wait to hear this, 'cause I know what you're going to do.
Well, I was up at midnight and on Monday and ordered my phone, and I was super excited.
And I guess you're actually up at midnight on Friday to order your phone.
Or that's what I mean. You know, that time when I was up at midnight, because that's every night. So I forget. So I ordered my phone and I sailed through the process. I got an 8 and I was excited about my 8.
How long did it take? You said sailed through. Did you get a feeling that there was less pressure on the server than years past?
I felt like I was the only person making that order at that instant.
That's because the rest of us were buying Apple Watch 3.
Yeah, and not waiting in line for an iPhone because everyone else is waiting until October. So here's the thing. I got the 8, and I'm excited about the 8 because I have a 6S now. And so getting my 7S, my 8, is going to be awesome. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to have a new camera. All of these things are going to be great. But I started thinking about the camera more, and I started thinking about the camera even more. And the Plus has an amazing camera and all of those portrait modes that you can use now in the new camera with the lighting and like all of the effects that you can add in camera on the phone. Mm-hmm. And it sounds great. And so I'm starting to have pre-order cold feet, pre-order remorse. because I'm thinking maybe I need to go to the Plus to get that camera, even though it's a massive slab of phone. Like, it's a massive phone. And I am still one of those weirdos that holds my phone to my head occasionally, because sometimes it makes this ringing noise and I am obligated to do so. So I'm trying to figure, like, is it too late? Can I go back and go, no, wait, I take it all back. I need a Plus because that camera. So I'm having a dilemma right now.
Well, how do you carry your phone? Do you put it in your back pocket, or do you carry it in your purse? How do you
Have you ever heard me talk about my phone? Actually,
I don't remember you telling me where you carry it.
Well, let me put it to you like this. Have you ever heard me talk about my pants and the fact that they have these terrible pockets? I knew we would. see, Jeff, for example, doesn't have this problem because pants. So women's pants have miserable, pitiful pockets. And since I got the 5S, I have had to make peace with the fact that my phone doesn't fit in my pocket anymore. The 4s did. The 5s don't. The 6s certainly don't. So if it hangs out of my pocket anyway, and I can't leave it in my pocket while I'm sitting down, which I don't do because I can't, because, again, pockets in women's pants, it doesn't matter. So I feel like maybe I should get the megaphone. But if I'm going to get the megaphone because all I want is the camera, then why wouldn't I just wait for the 10, which has the amazing camera, but isn't a megaphone, but does all the same camera stuff?
That's a really good question. And I feel your pain. I was actually really torn myself on what to do about the new iPhone.
Well, what do you have now? What's your phone today?
I have a 7.
Okay, you're a 7, not a Plus.
I am not a Plus person.
Okay, and John, are you a Plus?
No, I'm not a Plus person. Sometimes I wish I were, and I'm often tempted, but I'm not a Plus person. Never have been.
I have never been tempted. So, regardless of the quality of the cameras, the size it's a showstopper for me.
See, that's where I am, because when I got my 6S, I got my 6S about this time a couple of years ago, you know, and then the following February or March, we got the iPhone SE, which was the 6S in a 5S case. And I have said since that moment, if I had had any inkling that the SE was on the horizon, that's the phone I would have bought.
Mm-hmm. And you still can waited, if you really wanted to. But
right. Yeah. If I had waited a couple of months, I could have had all of the stuff from the 6S, the nice camera, the Touch ID, the better front camera, the faster processor, all of the stuff, you know, the more accurate step tracking if you have your phone in your pocket, like Kelly. I would have had all of that in the case that I actually liked, because I could reach everything with my thumb. And that's really the thing that has always kept me from the Plus, is as best I can, I use my phone with one hand. And someday we will do an entire extended episode of just me and Jeff, and Jeff will say, hi, welcome to Daily Observations, let's talk to Kelly about her home screen, and I will tell you for an hour how things are laid out, because I way overthink this kind of thing.
And then it'll be validation for me, because I way overthink these things too.
See, I think we need to do just a deep dive on the home screen situation, because one thing that blows people away about my home screen is that I have a folder in the dock, and it's like nobody ever realized that that was a thing that you could do. And so it just blows people's minds when I pull it up and they're like, you have a folder down there? So there's a whole bunch that goes into it. And part of that is I have been described as possessing wee Japanese schoolgirl sized hands. And so there's already part of the 6S that I can't reach. And I don't want to be, and I know that reachability is gone.
Wouldn't later. It make know, sense to use I know two the 10 hands doesn't then? Have it. Because you have so much trouble reaching with your fingers, so it doesn't it make logical sense to hold it? I mean, I can understand why there are many situations where you must hold it with one hand, but in normal routine use, why not use two? Make it easy.
Because I don't want to. I use my phone with one hand because I use my phone with one hand.
So, Kelly, I'm actually with you on this one. My feeling is my phone, my smallest mobile device that, you know, I'm actually doing stuff on.
Yeah.
Because it's my phone and I often need to do other things simultaneously, my phone should be a one-handed device.
I know what it is.
If I need two hands, that's why I have an iPad.
I know what it is. I grew up with Hewlett-Packard calculators.
Oh, see,
I'm a two-handed calculator user.
See,
holding it in one hand and punching it with the other. So it just carried over.
Of course.
And Kelly is allergic to math. So I've never owned an HP calculator.
I have about 12.
All I've ever done, I was going to say, John has a museum of them.
I do.
All I've ever done with one is play Snake on a friend's calculator because he had a game on it. And so I've played a game on an HP calculator. I've never actually used it for anything. Mr. Kelly has one that's like the financial one. And he showed it to me one time. And like, you can't even math properly on that thing. It's like you enter a number and then you enter a number, another number, and then you enter the thing you want to do to them. And I'm like, nope, I'm out. That's not math. I'm not wired that way. So I never owned an HP calculator. So to me, the two-handed thing is not a big deal. I am team pinky perch. I've been told this is called where you hold your phone and you put your pinky underneath it. And then you do all of your doing with your thumb. That's me.
And try and balance the phone and hope it doesn't drop. And yep, I know that well.
Well, I wrap my palm around the back and hold it with my fingers on the other side. And then I work it with my thumb, but I hold my pinky on it so it doesn't slide out the bottom of my hand. Because in the old days, I was a dropper kicker thrower of a lot of things. And I have found that I need a much more secure grip. And this is the one that I have found.
Folks, so, this is very weird. I hope you're enjoying this.
So this is my problem is my phone is a one-handed device. My phone will always be a one-handed device. And it used to be occasionally two-handed if I needed to text somebody. But now that Siri is so much happier to listen to me and actually record what I say accurately, I do so much more text entry with my voice than I do with my thumbs that it's back to being a much more one-handed device than it used to be when I had to use both of my thumbs to text everybody. So this is my hurdle. Now I know I'm getting a way better camera in the 8 than I have in my 6S, period. I know that. But it's not the camera that they showed me.
Okay. So Kelly, we're out of time. So I'm going to wrap up with my advice.
Okay.
For how you can resolve this. You know your phone is showing up on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point we will have phones in the store.
Yes.
Apple also has a 14-day return policy. Get your phone.
Yes, they do.
Go into the store, start comparing the phones, see what you think, and then if you decide that you really should have gone with the Plus, trade in your 8 for the 8 Plus.
That's very sound advice. Thank you, Jeff.
You're welcome.
Assuming they have a supply of them in the store.
And if not, then I betcha because it's brand new and you had to buy it sight unseen that the people in the store are going to find a way to work with you.
I really hope so. And here's the other thing is that, I mean, I know everybody was waiting in line for the 10 anyway, so nobody's really waiting in the line I was waiting in. And I know that the camera is going to be better and I know the phone is going to be better and like, I know I will be happy with an 8, but the thing I always tell people is I'm only upgrading my phone for the camera. Mm-hmm. But this is the year that I finally went, maybe it's time to upgrade to the camera because they never bring that to the smaller model. Like the 8s don't have the 7S Plus camera in them. And then the 8 Plus gets some sort of new fantastic camera like they do with the other stuff. Like the Plus gets, you know, last year's, this was the great thing. And now, you know, and now we've dropped it down into the next model phones. Like they're not doing that anymore. And so that's sort of why I'm having this debate with myself. But Jeff, I think you have talked me down off the ledge a little bit because I am like having the same size phone is going to be fine. And I'm hoping that, like I said, I know I will be happy with it when it gets here and I will take the same picture I take every time. The last picture I take with my old phone is of me snuggled up to the box for my new phone. And I'm going to be excited about it. But this year was finally the year when I went, maybe the camera is the thing and I'm kind of having a crisis about it.
All right. Well, go play in the store on Friday and then let me know how that goes.
Which is funny because that's the advice I gave everybody else because I have a couple family members who have to upgrade because their phones won't run iOS 11. And that was the thing I told them was go to the store and pick them up and touch them and see which one you like before you make a decision about anything because you don't want to end up with the wrong thing and then be saddled with it forever because you had to pay full price for a phone and now you have to get your money's worth.
Yes.
So all right. Thank you, Chad.
Well, you're welcome. And on that happy note, we're out of time. Kelly, thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me and for being my therapy. And thank you, dear listeners, for joining us on this journey.
Yes. And John, thank you for being here as well.
My pleasure and my pain.
Yes. Yeah, there you go. Hey, listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.
Bye, Kelly.
Bye, John.